The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, in the United States, Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced that the House would begin formal impeachment proceedings against President Trump.
For the past several months, we have been investigating in our committees and litigating in the courts so the House can gather all the relevant facts and consider whether to exercise its full Article I powers, including a constitutional power of the utmost gravity, approval of articles of impeachment. And this week, the president has admitted to asking the president of Ukraine to take actions which would benefit him politically. The actions of the Trump presidency revealed the dishonorable fact of the president's betrayal of his oath of office, betrayal of our national security, and betrayal of the integrity of our elections. Therefore, today, I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry. I'm directing our six committees to proceed with their investigations under that umbrella of impeachment inquiry. The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law.
That's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Meantime, the FBI has revealed the next possible stage in this Trump movement is a possible nationwide wave of protests on Capitol buildings on the day of Joe Biden's inauguration. This from Allison Morris of NBC News.
A new FBI memo warning about the possibility of armed protests across all 50 state capitals ahead of Inauguration Day. A senior law enforcement official also saying that an armed group is threatening to travel to Washington to stage an uprising if President Trump is removed from office.
Joining me now, Terry Sheridan, managing editor of WSHU Public Radio. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Pat.
Now, it's moving, some would say, at snail's pace, given the fear that Democrats and some Republicans are expressing about what Donald Trump might get up to in the last remaining days of his presidency. But the wheels are certainly turning.
The wheels are turning, and also I'm looking at it more as a chess game when you're considering what Speaker Pelosi and Minority Leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, soon to be Majority Leader, are doing. They're forcing Republicans to go on the record. So last night, Pelosi sought a unanimous consent resolution in the Congress to have Mike Pence invoke the 25th Amendment. That was objected to. So now there will be a vote on that later today if Pence doesn't come through and invoke the 25th Amendment, which would force Republicans to go on the record. Now, there's also Pelosi has also told the vice president that if he doesn't do the 25th Amendment, then the article of impeachment that was introduced yesterday will be debated starting tomorrow. And that's when things get start to go pretty fast.
So they manage to impeach him, which is to indict him, and then they have to have a trial in the Senate. That's the way it works. The House indicts and the Senate hears and either acquits or convicts. The argument is that possibly Donald Trump would be well out of office by the time the Senate gets hold of this thing.
Absolutely. And that probably is what's going to happen, because right now Mitch McConnell and the Republicans still control the Senate and will until Kamala Harris becomes vice president. So that's not going to happen until the 20th. Now, what Chuck Schumer is trying to do is to get Mitch McConnell to agree to bring the Senate back into session under emergency powers passed after 9/11. That doesn't seem to be what is going to happen. Now, the thing with impeachment is that removal from office is only one of the punishments involved. So the trial could go on after the president has left office, but it would be basically stripping him the honor of the office. So he wouldn't be able to collect his pension. He wouldn't be able to get enhanced security. He wouldn't be able to get travel expenses. And then it would be much easier to vote to prohibit him from running again. So it would be more of the dishonor of the of his behavior rather than removing him from office.
Now, the dishonor seems to be being heaped upon him anyway. I mean, there are Republicans who have spoken out. There are still House Republicans who are staunch Trump defenders. But there are some people in the Senate who have now abandoned Donald Trump. And he's also being abandoned by Wall Street.
He's being abandoned by Wall Street. He's being abandoned by much of American business who have condemned his behavior and also said they are not going to contribute to Republican candidates who objected to the election. Several companies and several banks and Wall Street companies have said that they're going to suspend all political contributions for the short time. But the thing that Democrats are looking for is that their catchphrase has become accountability before unity, and that those who are seeking unity are actually seeking immunity. Now, the minority leader in the House, Kevin McCarthy, is introducing today a resolution to censure the president. Now, that may or may not pass because Democrats are saying that's not enough and they don't want it to end with this resolution of censure, which is basically toothless.
It wouldn't end matters necessarily. I mean, they could pass that and still go ahead with impeachment, I'm sure.
Oh, they probably could. But again, it's whatever. It's part of that chess game or that poker game that Pelosi is playing that I don't know what. Again, we don't know what she's going to do or how that falls into it.
The whole idea being that Republicans could say, well, we voted for that censure, therefore we won't get involved in the impeachment effort. We've said our piece about our president stroke former president, and Pelosi doesn't want to give them that get out clause.
Correct. I mean, again, and it's going back to that phrase, accountability before unity, is that they. And again, I think overwhelmingly the American public, or at least a strong majority, are appalled at what happened last week. And they just don't want it to go away and it be business as usual.
Now, the idea of a self-pardon, which is ludicrous on the face of it, because therefore any future president could get up to all sorts of shenanigans and, you know, knowing that he or she could pardon themselves at the end of their term and walk home free. So it's a legal nonsense, one suspects. But there's a problem anyway for Trump, because if he accepts a pardon, however it's administered, either by Pence, who takes over as president, or by himself, it is an admission of guilt, and that admission of guilt would then carry on into his private life, where he could be subject to litigation, for example, for compensation by the families of those who lost their lives on Capitol Hill, and many other scenarios where he, having admitted his guilt, he therefore would be subject to the lower threshold of civil litigation in terms of proving guilt.
Absolutely. When you accept a pardon, you admit that you're guilty. The other thing is, and this is also important, if you accept a pardon, you lose your immunity from participating in any congressional or legal proceeding. So there's no, in the United States, the Fifth Amendment, the right that you don't have to self-incriminate yourself. You lose that. You have to cooperate with either the Senate, the House, or a court. You couldn't just claim immunity. You couldn't claim a Fifth Amendment defense.
Now, the enablers of Trump, and there are many, many in the Republican Party, some of whom have done U-turns, others close to him, like his children and Rudy Giuliani, even, I don't know whether you guys saw, we've seen it here, the video of Trump getting ready to address the mob on Wednesday, and he's there punching a red boxing glove with one, wearing it on one hand and punching with another. And his son, Donald Jr., absolutely hyper with excitement of what's going to unfold. But these kind of enablers around him, he might pardon them. But if he's going to face the music himself, he's unlikely to let them all go home free if he's going to be the only one to suffer.
No, I would doubt that Donald Trump would be the last man standing in this, or, you know, pardon. he's going to try to be, or he's going to try to be the last man standing. He would throw anyone under the bus in order to protect himself, as we have seen throughout his career over the past 40 years, but over the past 4 years in Congress, anyone, or in his administration, anyone who has crossed him is gone for the most part. They can be gone. He cannot remove Vice President Mike Pence constitutionally, but almost his entire cabinet from when he started 4 years ago is gone. Most of his advisors are gone because they crossed him, or they didn't do something that he wanted to do. And we did see the video of the green room here, and it was, as you said, it was just a bizarre watching.
Yeah, he was jigging up and down. And certainly Don Jr. was completely, it seemed, almost out of control with excitement. Now, the revelation by the FBI that there are moves to have protests at every Capitol building throughout the perhaps, I don't know whether Alaska and Hawaii will be included, but most of the states, if not all of them, will have Trump supporters protesting Joe Biden's inauguration. And of course, it could lead to trouble. What's the latest on that?
Well, again, in Washington, D.C., at least 15,000 National Guard troops have been put on alert to go. And the city, I'm not going to use the term lockdown or emergency, but starting tomorrow, there will be heightened security in all of Washington, D.C., as they get ready for the inauguration a week from tomorrow. At the state capitals, there's already been heightened security. SWAT teams have been deployed. It's something that did actually happen last week, but was lost in with everything that was happening in D.C., that there were protests and there were several, not invasions, but incursions into state capitals happening. So I think it's something that's out there on the web that you can see, you can follow, that the people who are in acts of insurrection will be going out to the capitals. How big they actually will be, for the most part, locally, we've seen that their bark is worse than their bite, but there are preparations to protect the capitals on that day.
Now, two of the members of the Capitol Police Force, these are the people responsible for the security at the Capitol building, the Senate and the House. Two police officers suspended. At least 10 to 15 more are being investigated, perhaps for complicity in the whole thing, you know, showing the protesters where to go within the building and that kind of thing. And yet, in a contrary report, the head of the Capitol Police, who now has resigned, has said that he sought help and it was denied.
Well, everybody is pointing fingers at everyone else. He said he sought help. It was denied. The Department of Defense says, well, you didn't ask in the right way. And then, you know, there are videos of the police, the Capitol Police. There's the famous one of the cop taking a selfie with some of the protesters, as you said, pointing out directions to various offices or opening doors, what have you. There's also been stories of immense bravery and courage and smart thinking. I don't know whether you saw the video of the one police officer who was being chased up the stairs, gave a quick look to where the Senate door was, and then, you know, roped a dope them to get away from that. So, but no, there is actually there is a serious investigation in whether there was inside help among the Capitol Police Department into the insurrection.
And the officer who actually died was a Trump supporter, but died in contradiction of his own personal beliefs in order to do the job that he was being paid to do. So that is, you know, all the contradictions that we're seeing in the United States today. What's the mood like generally, Terry? I mean, seeing the Confederate flag paraded across the rotunda, all of that kind of thing. How do ordinary Americans feel? Are they just over Trumped and can't find outrage anymore? Or is there a genuine feeling of outrage?
There's general feeling of outrage among the majority of Americans. There is a sadness, I think, among all Americans. And you do have a large segment of the population who really don't think anything wrong happened last week, that this is what happens when you steal an election, falsely claim that you steal an election. So there's a tension in the country. There is, and I don't want to use the cliche, but, you know, families turning against each other, friends turning against each other because of what happened last week, and whether their support of the president and the support of whether or the belief whether Joe Biden cheated to get the election. That's ongoing, and that is really sad.
All right. Terry Sheridan, managing editor at WSHU Public Radio. Thank you very much.